bit of a different one this week. It's not about garage sales or thrifting, but it is about side hustles. I hope you enjoy it. Hit me up on social media. Let me know what you think and if you want more.
Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly.
This is a story that I've never told publicly before. I've never spoken about it. I've written about it. I was invited onto every single major news network to talk about this story. I turned them down because I didn't want to go on TV. I didn't want to be the guy on TV talking about this, but it was such a popular product, popular business, popular idea that the media requests just came in and came in and came in. And I think I'm about ready to talk about what actually went down. And I'm going to tell you how in a single weekend while I was on holiday, I made $125,000 from a website. So we have to go back a decent way. We have to go back to 2014, the end of 2014, over 10 years ago when I was a young guy. And I was unhappy with the way the past 12 months had been. And, you know, New Year's Eve started to come up and I thought, next year is the year that I want to do something. I want to create something that is going to make me money. For every single year that I've been alive, New Year's Eve has been the day where I register a new domain name, where I come up with a new business idea, where I just put into motion something that's going to help me for the rest of the year. And back then in 2014, I decided that I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend New Year's Eve creating a website, and in 2015, I'm going to launch the website. What ended up happening was I created a website called shipyourenemiesglitter.com. I registered the domain name and I decided to work on the website. I'm going to get into building websites and my experience with creating websites, coding, domain names, everything a bit later on. But I'm starting with this story mostly because it's a sort of a clickbait headline and it's going to be the one that brings in the most people. And I'm going to talk about the way that I've been able to make money from this sort of stuff in the past. But New Year's Eve, first of all, you're going to have to excuse me for my memory. I'm remembering back 10 years ago. And like I said, this is the first time I've ever talked about this before. So so bear with me. December 31st, I registered the domain name shipyourenemiesglitter.com. I had an idea. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't pitch it to anyone. I didn't send anyone messages saying, what do you think about this? Do you think it will do any? Do you think it will do good? It was all just within myself. I was going to create this product. I'm sure if I said it to anyone, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is such a dumb idea. It doesn't belong. You're not going to make any money. They would question why I'm creating a website, an e-commerce website, about something that is just so dumb, like sending other people glitter. You know, just imagine your friends and family saying they're going to create an e-commerce website. And you're like, okay, cool. What are you going to sell? T-shirts? Shorts? No. I'm going to send an envelope filled with glitter. And inside of that envelope is a hate message, like a hateful message telling them to just go fuck themselves. Because that's what it was. The website promised to tell somebody to go fuck themselves. And for some reason, back in 2015, I was like, this should make some money. Like, people should be interested in this. Why? Fucked if I know. But I was committed to the idea. I thought, that's what I'm going to do on New Year's Eve. And I did it. I mean, I created the website. I created the domain. I usually build websites on a certain platform. I decided to build it on a different platform just to, you know, test myself, just to create it, do something different. And that decision, honestly, creating it on Bootstrap as opposed to my usual WordPress platform, I'm not kidding, it probably cost me like $1 million, because later on you'll hear why. But I had to take down the order form, and there was orders coming in, and it probably would have cost me, yeah, honestly, $1 million. Anyway, I thought, screw it, I'm going to launch this, I'm going to build this. So on New Year's Eve, I built and launched. Well, I didn't launch shipyourenemiesglitter.com. The launch was delayed by a few days because I had commissioned somebody on Reddit to create an illustration for the website. Usually this isn't something that's going to delay a website launch, but back then, I mean, how old was I? This was so long ago that I was like a kid, you know, and that is like the delay of an illustration is going to delay the website launching. Whereas now, you know, you launch as soon as you're ready, as soon as you can. You're doing an MVP, a minimum viable launch. That doesn't make sense. That acronym doesn't add up with the initials. But anyway, I created the website. If I didn't explain it well enough, the person goes to the website, they enter in somebody's information, their friend, their family, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, somebody that is going to receive an envelope full of glitter with a note telling them to fuck themselves. And that was going to cost them $10. It was very, very simple like that. It was, yeah, go to the website, do all that. You know, the website was sort of simple. It was like this one pager. There was like the order form at the bottom. And then from the top, from the hero section, just below the fold, there was a bit more information. There were some frequently asked questions. And it was like me shooting the shit. You know, there was a frequently asked questions section that was like, is this website for real? And I wrote, yes, it is, etc. I just had some fun with it. And then, you know, there was another section that asked what happens if somebody gets injured, and then the answer was, of course, like, go fuck yourself. It was like frat humor, I think you can say. And that was one of the reasons why the website got picked up and it went viral, because what happened was I launched the website while I was on holiday. I was with a buddy. We were going to the tennis in Sydney. We had booked a Airbnb to stay in Sydney. This is when I was living back on the coast outside of the city. I mean, I was young. I wasn't living at home. Was I living at home? I can't remember. We had booked a place in the city, and we had week-long tickets. We're going to go to every single tennis event, which to my friend probably sounded like a nightmare because he wasn't into tennis, but I was like, yeah, it'll be fun, you know, we'll stay here in the city, we'll go watch all these tennis players, and I had like these sheets upon sheets of tickets, it'll be fun. So we end up going to the tennis. I launched on Product Hunt. I didn't expect any upvotes, I didn't expect any comments, I didn't expect anything. For reference, Product Hunt is a website where it's sort of like Reddit. If you don't know what Product Hunt is, you don't know what Reddit is, can't really help you. It's sort of like a website where you post like a news story and you post something interesting, and then it either gets upvoted or downvoted. If you get upvoted, you'll end up like higher in the rankings, higher on the website, you'll get more eyeballs to you. If you end up downvoted, nobody's going to read your stuff. So I posted on Reddit and it started to get a couple upvotes. You know, we're on the way to the tennis and my phone is in my pocket, and we get some traffic. There's a lot of traffic in Sydney at the moment, and you know, in traffic, talking about how late we're going to be, and I decided to pull out my phone, and I can see some notifications on my phone that were like, okay, you got like 20 upvotes, 30 upvotes on Reddit, and you've also received the first email notification saying payment received, which is somebody that's gone to the website, thought it was funny, and has bought an envelope full of glitter for somebody they hate or someone they think is going to find this entertaining. So I'm saying to my buddy, like, wow, like, I've actually made like $10, enough to cover the cost of the domain registration. This is a success. I've made $10. I've created a product. I've made money on the internet. This product is a success. And so we're laughing about it, we're joking about it, we're driving to the tennis still, my phone is back in my pocket, we're still in, you know, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and just as we're, like, going around and roundabout, trying to, like, work our way into the center, I pull out my phone again, it's probably 30 minutes later, and I can see that the Reddit post is now up to, like, 100 upvotes, so 100 people clicking, like, yes, this is cool, recommend, and then I can see on my phone that, like, 10 to 20 different emails have come in saying notification of payment received from PayPal. So that 10 emails equals $100 because the product is $10 for the envelope. So 10 emails is $100, 20 emails is $200. So I'm like, oh shit, I've made $200 from this in like 5 minutes. Well, not 5 minutes, 30 minutes since I've been out. It's slowly building up. And I say to my friend, like, look, we're in traffic. We're in like this bumper to bumper shit. Should we just go back and ignore the tennis for the day? We can watch like a couple more orders come in, make a couple of dollars and just have like some drinks. And we're like, yes, let's do that. So we go back and that is the plan for the night. We stop for a couple of, we stop at the bottle shop to get some drinks. I can't remember what we bought, but we're both excited. We're like, okay, let's see what can happen. Let's see what can happen with this viral idea that so far has made us like $200, has got like 50 to 100 upvotes on Reddit. So we're back at the Airbnb and the orders are starting to go up really, really fast. We're in the triple digits now. Triple digits meaning 100 orders. And you do that times 10, which is what each order was costing. That's $1,000. So we're starting to get into money that is like you need to be taking this seriously. It's not just like fuck around and find out money. So I was not prepared for any of this. You know, people were paying for an envelope, they were paying for glitter, and they were paying for an angry letter. There were no envelopes at this point in time. There was no glitter, and there wasn't even a letter that goes inside. Nor was there a draft of the letter. There was nothing. These people were paying for an item that didn't even exist. It was just a thought. It was just a thought. It was a thought in my brain. Wouldn't this be funny? And then 100 people were like, yes, it would. And they started to buy the item and there was nothing. So I was badly prepared. And just to give you an idea of how badly prepared I was, I'd set up the website so that when the user like bought the item, that'd be redirected to a thank you page, which is very standard in, I mean, it's 2025 now. But back then, I hadn't even set that up. So when the user made the payment and they were redirected to a thank you page, the page 404'd. 404'd means that the page doesn't exist. So they'd make the payment. So they would decide, okay, I'm going to send this to John. I'd make the payment for $10. And then as soon as they made the payment via PayPal, they'd be redirected to a page that doesn't exist. So it'd be like, I've made the payment and then boom, nothing. They would be like, is this real? Is this fake? They had no idea. That's how unprepared I was for this. And, you know, just know that the orders were stacking up. I was talking about triple digits before. They're getting even higher, you know, 200 orders, 300 orders. Times that by 10, and that's how much money I was making, $1,000, $10,000, $20,000, etc. So all of this is just building up and up and up and up. And at that point in time, you know, the website got accepted to Product Hunt, which is a different aggregator, different way to discover websites. And it was just building. On Reddit, it had surpassed 1,000 upvotes. So that was 1,000 people clicking like, this is cool, this is cool. And it just kept building. And it would later end up on Reddit with over 4,500 upvotes. And it ended up becoming, at the time, the fifth most upvoted submission of all time, which is crazy to think about, you know. And on Product Hunt, it was the 10th most upvoted product of all time, too. I remember talking to Product Hunt staff, and they would just talk about the amount of traffic that this website sent to them. Like, they just couldn't believe that they were receiving so much traffic. Anyway, later that night, we started drinking, or we continued drinking, either way. And that's when things got really sort of interesting, because by that point, I was hesitant to refresh my emails or to re-download my emails because I was coming in way too quickly. And when I say that, I mean like the press emails, they started coming in too. And I don't like to do press. I'm not a fan. I get tripped over my words too much and I can't form coherent sentences. So I did not want to do those sort of press interviews. However, I didn't mind saying to my buddy, do you want to be me? Do you want to take this interview on behalf of me and just say whatever? And, you know, my friend was like, yeah, sure. So he would do interviews with, you know, ABC, CBS, and pretend to be me, but he is not any better at press. He would pick up the phone. They would say, all right, Matt, thank you for taking this interview. How are you today? Can you tell us a bit more about the website? And the response would be 30 seconds of silence, followed by hanging up the phone. just beep, beep, just nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I mean, it was all unusable. These had to be the worst interviews of all time. You know, when we did interviews with press and we would say like the most jacked up shit and stuff that didn't even make sense, it would still go to air because this product was so viral that any sort of mention of it would get clicks and stuff. So we would just make up bullshit, and all these like TV stations and radio stations would just air it because it's like, well, this is an interview with the glitter people, you know. So I mean they would ask me questions like, what are you going to spend the money on? And I would just look on Amazon for the most obnoxious shit possible, like, oh, there's this $80,000 like bouncy house, and they'd be like, yeah, I'm going to spend it on this. And they'd just publish it because it's like, well, we can say that we had an interview with the glitter cunts. So it was just like all, it was like so much fun having those sort of interviews. It was just it was a lot of fun, and there were some high points, there were some low points with all these, but at the end of the day, it was just us being dicks, being like, just having a boatload of fun. Anyway, we have those interviews the night before, we go to bed, we wake up, and we don't sleep that much because there's just so much happening at that point in time. You know, my emails are going crazy. At that point, I had my emails with my ISP, which was iPrimers, which a company here in Australia, and they only designated 10 megabytes for each email address. So as soon as I was deleting emails, the new notifications of payment received were coming in. So I was like shit out of luck when it came to emails. There was all of those PayPal emails, those press emails. Honestly, that's the most press requests I've ever gotten in my life. They were everywhere. They were coming from every single country. Like, didn't grasp at the time how big this was. Now I know, and I probably would have done things a bit differently, but at the time, you know, we're off our heads. So all of this is just like shits and gigs. So cue the next day, we've got massive hangovers, massive regrets. We don't know what we've said to the radio. We don't know what we've said to ABC. All we have is just like these faint memories of, wait, did we just tell them to like go fuck themselves? Did we just say this? Did we just say that? And yeah, we're staying at a place in Sydney, shit fucking place. And all we could think about was things that we should or shouldn't have said the night before. But you know, this thing was moving so fast that we didn't have a chance to really dwell on that, because as soon as we're up and we're checking our emails, we're checking what's next, we have more press, we have literally hundreds, thousands of more orders coming in. People were starting to call this thing glitter bombs. It was just like all over the TV. We had TV shows in America saying that they wanted me to fly over there to demonstrate the product, which I thought was bizarre, because it's like, it's an envelope that you open and there's glitter inside. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to do that on stage, then walk off like some sort of fucking idiot. It just seemed really bizarre. And I think that shows that this product just went crazily mainstream, that any sort of demonstration is going to be viewed. And that was at like that point in time was when Jimmy Fallon started his opening monologue with a reference to the website. He was talking about shipping your enemies glitter, new website started in Australia, and there was a joke that was like, if somebody's sending that to you, you must be friends with Kesha. It was, I don't know, I can't remember what the joke was. Jimmy Fallon, we know, is a great joke writer. So I can't remember what it was, but that's where it was at that point in time. I'm just putting this into perspective. It was Daily Show monologues in terms of popularity. So then at that point in time, I'm thinking to myself, I've created this website using Bootstrap, a platform I'm not that familiar with. I have an order form with PayPal. I actually wasn't getting all the information when orders came in. Something I haven't talked about before was that people were submitting orders and I wasn't actually getting the payment information. I didn't see who they were sending it to. I was just getting their PayPal receipt. That was the biggest reason why I decided to take down orders, but publicly I never said that. But yeah, it was because of because I didn't do the due diligence in advance that I probably cost myself, like I said, like $1 million, because if that was still up, then it would have easily gotten like 10 times the amount of orders, and 10 times the amount of orders ended up being like over $1 million. But anyway, that is what happened. The orders kept piling up and I didn't know what to do. I thought that because I didn't have people's information that I was going to have to refund them. And at that time I was like, well, there's 2,500 orders, refunding all of that money, like 25 grand or whatever, it's going to take a long time. It's probably going to ban my account. I was in two minds. I was going to do that. And then I was going to, like, in one point I was like, no, let's fulfill the orders. I didn't know what way to go. So I think I slept on it, to be honest. I mean, probably passed out on it, but I slept on it is what happened. And I ended up taking the order form down, just left it. So we had the website, but we just didn't have an order form. And at this point, you know, this is hitting every single major news station, radio station. People are hearing about this. You got like a friend that needs to be humbled, send them a glitter thing, blah, blah, blah. We were getting millions and millions of visitors every single day. And they were getting to a website that didn't have anything. They didn't have an order form, didn't have anything that said, like, put your email here so that when it's back up and running, you can, you know, submit an order. And being in internet marketing, that is like sort of a big regret, because if it was me now and I was sober, if I took down an order form, I immediately would have put up a subscribe form. But me in 2025, I would not have taken down the order form. I would have kept it up. I would have waited to see how many orders came in. If it was like, you know, 100,000 people, then I'll just deal with it, you know. I just wouldn't take it down. You'd rather take that money in and deal with it later as opposed to not having that money. So yeah, so that happened, and we're getting a lot of traffic, a lot of emails, and I took it down. That's when the internet started to turn. They started to go from like, this is a funny joke to, Matt is a horrible entrepreneur, which I thought was funny. I thought it was funny to a degree. I also got pissed off at it mostly when, you know, we had finished a couple of drinks and we were like, who does this cunt think he is? You know, they're saying like, Matt should be hiring people to complete these tasks. He should be getting in like staff to complete these orders. And I'm just like, I remember typing out an email, typing out a reply to a comment and just being like, this is the worst advice imaginable. You want me to hire staff in Australia to fulfill glitter orders? I filled all that out and I just deleted it, because you'll learn a bit later, I've had some of that trouble before with replying to these sort of press articles, whatever, and it never works out well. So you usually just ignore all of the emails. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself into an argument that you're not going to win. But yeah, anyway, I went back to the site, I opened up PayPal, and I saw there was like tens of thousands of dollars sitting in there. I've had a PayPal day before where I've made 20 grand in a day. I'll talk about that later. But I was shocked. I was surprised. I didn't really know what to do. Like I said, I had nothing prepared. I had no glitter. I had nothing. Luckily, I had been in contact with people from PayPal about the website. The website went so viral that when I included in the frequently asked questions section about accepting payment methods, I said, you know, I said in the frequently asked questions, what payments do you accept? And I was like, PayPal, but those guys are cunts. If you want to send them glitter, send them to them. Something like that. And I got an email from a PayPal staff member being like, yeah, the whole office had a laugh about it. Yeah, I was like, okay, well then I surely shouldn't have any problems with my account getting deleted or my account getting frozen from receiving like 20 grand in orders from them. So I was happy about that. But yeah, I was in two minds of, do I send everyone refunds or do I just like go through with this? And I had no one really to guide me on this entire journey. Like I was away. I was off my head. We were doing this for just fun. We didn't think about any sort of ramifications. And, you know, even when I came home, I didn't have anyone to guide me. Nobody I know has created a business before or created a viral product before. It's just do what you think is right. And at that point in time, I was like, well, it's viral. Viral, in essence, is something that is going to drop off in the future. So I thought the best way to move forward would be to sell. I was going to cash out at the top, and that's what I thought the best decision was. So I put up a tweet, and the tweet said something like, "Ship Your Enemies Glitter has received hundreds of thousands of shares on social media, millions of views, tens of thousands of dollars worth of orders, and I want to sell it." Maybe not the best way to go about it, because from that moment on, I was hounded by people that wanted to buy the website, from people that wanted to split equity, that people wanted to split, you know, the revenue. They said, you know, "Matt, you keep all the equity, we'll fulfill the orders, let's keep it like that." There were so many offers coming in, and my only reference for these type of deals was when I watched Shark Tank and Dragon's Den as like a kid, and I was like, well, what do I do? I honestly didn't have any idea what to do. So I was like, well, I'm going to put it up for sale, and I'm going to put it on Flippa.com, FLIPPA.com. It's a website where you buy and sell stuff. I mean, I'm just going to take directions from the buyer's agent, which was a man named Joseph. He decided to, he helped me out with selling the website, because after I decided to sell it, I was like, well, where do I sell it? And I had experience with Flippa.com before. I'd bought stuff, I'd sold stuff, and it was like the number one platform for where you buy and sell websites. So we needed to come up with a description for it. We needed to come up with, you know, some photos, some media, some press, whatever. And we needed to come up with a price. So I said to him, like, let's just start it off at a dollar. Let's see how this goes. So we decided to start off an auction for the website that had made me tens of thousands of dollars. It had received millions of views, talked about all over social media. I cannot express how much this was like the hot news item of the day. You know, I had people messaging family members saying, like, "Is this like your brother? Is this your brother that's doing this?" I had family members that were like, "I'm so proud of you." It was honestly the news article of the week. It was like the hottest thing of the week. So I was like, yes, let's put it up for a dollar. We'll see how the auction goes. And, you know, when I was leading up to this, I had people messaging me once I sent out the tweet saying it was for sale. They're offering me, you know, 20 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand. Just people just being like, you know, "I'm going to give you $50,000. You can continue to run it. Just give me a percentage of this, blah, blah, blah." And I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I've watched Shark Tank. I know I should be countering with something, but in my mind, I'm like, this is a viral piece that is going to be dead in like a week's time. So I want to get out as soon as possible. That's why I listed it so quickly. So I had those offers. I think the biggest one that I had privately was 50 grand. And, you know, it's hard to turn down 50 grand when you're a kid that's, how old was I? Like fucking 23, 22, 23. I received that offer, and I was like, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to see what the auction, I'm going to opt for the $1 starting auction. I'm not going to take your $50,000. I'm going to start an auction starting at $1. That was what I did. I don't know where my mind was. I was probably drowning in booze, but that's what happened. 100% true. So we started the auction at $1. After 7 days, it's going to be sold for whatever the amount is. No reserve. If it sold for $10, if it only received 5 bids and it sold for $10, then that's what it sells for. And then within the first day, the first day that the auction was live, received over 300 bids just like that. and it was sitting at $61,100. It became Flipper's most active auction of all time, which I think is pretty fucking cool. This is a website that sells like properties for hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And my website was the most active of all time. 300 bids within the first day. It had gone from $1 to $61,100 within one day. Like, 300 bids. If you go to a house auction right now, you might get 4 to 5 bids. You know, just to put it into perspective, 300 bids. Yeah, many of them might have been fake. They might have just been people, you know, shooting the shit. But eventually Flipper put in these sort of restrictions where if you're going to put in a bid to buy my website, we're going to have to validate you. And the validation came from showing bank statements, showing that you had this amount of money. There was people that got pre-approved financing from their banks to take out loans to buy this website. So Flipper was on the phone to people and they were like, yes, my bank has said I'm willing to take out money to buy Ship Your Enemies Glitter. And, you know, Joseph, my Flipper representative, was telling me this. I'm like, are you fucking serious? People are getting out loans to buy this? I'm thinking like, this is such a bad idea. I would never do this. What is happening? I literally thought, what is happening? Actually, you know what? I probably wasn't thinking. I was probably just like, again, off my head, going along with the ride, being like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's make some money. It's like, oh, 60, oh, 60 bucks, 600 bucks. Like, I don't know. But like that in itself gets press. It's like, Matt, what are you going to do with the money? Where's all this money going to go? What do you think it'll end up as? Those are just questions I had no idea what the answers were. It's just like going up and up and up. And for me, I was just looking forward to getting out of this because I didn't think it was going to lead to anything. So I ended up getting to the $60,000, like I said, and it stayed there for a while. And then, you know, over the next few days, because it's a 7-day auction, it went up to $70,000. And then it didn't move again for a couple of days. And I'm talking to Joseph and he's like, don't worry, you know, first few days are like, you know, a couple of bids roll in. But the main thing is when it comes down to it, like the last few hours, that's when the real bids come in. So I'm thinking like, okay, whatever, let's see what it goes. It's up 70,000 right now. Let's see what happens at the end. And the bid was at $70,600, and there's like 30 minutes left. They're not really coming in, but that's when Joseph made me some more money by saying like, look, it's not moving past $70,000. Let's put up like a buy it now price that's like, you know, $120,000. And then, you know, if there's multiple people watching and they're thinking let's go up to 100 or 105,000, they might actually buy it for 120. And then for the last 30 minutes it was stuck at like 75,000 and the buy it now was set at 120, and then Joseph was slowly reducing the buy it now from like 120, 115, 110, and you know, the auction price is going up a tiny bit, but it wasn't jumping as much as the buy it now price. And then he put the price at the buy it now price at $85,000, and the auction price was still at 70. He put it at 85,000. Someone clicked that button with like a couple of minutes left. They decided to click buy it now for $85,000 instead of waiting like 3 minutes to see if their $70,000 bid was successful. I just remember getting told, like, yeah, it sold for $85,000. I'm like, fuck. $85,000, like, that's a lot of money. They're like, yeah, like, I don't know what that is in Australian dollars. And I'm like, wait, this wasn't in Australian dollars. This is in foreign money. And then, you know, I jumped into Google and I'm like, $85,000 into Australian AUD, what is that? And it's like $105,000 Australian dollars. I'm like, Are you fucking serious? This website that I spent like $10 to buy the domain on New Year's Eve that's all that I spent on it, has just sold 2 weeks later for $105,000. And the answer was yes. It had sold for that. $105,000. That was just for the website. That doesn't include everything that I made up to that. Remember, I still have like $20,000 in PayPal just sitting there from the website. So I've walked away with like almost $150,000 from this fucking, from this thing that I created on New Year's Eve as a joke. Really. So the auction has ended and I start communicating with the buyer. The buyer is a guy from America and he has a sort of background that's similar to me. You know, he was in e-commerce. He has a warehouse in the States. He thought that, you know, this website would be something fun to do. He had like a barrel full of glitter ready to go. And yeah, after 9 days, literally 9 days, I was no longer the owner of this website. The issue that I had from there was sending out the orders that I received and had gotten paid for with PayPal. So yes, I was happy that I ended up selling this for six figures, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I actually have to like fulfill some orders now. And that was like such a fucking nightmare, man. Because at this time, the holiday had ended. I was back at home and I had kilos upon kilos of glitter shipped to my place. I'm not talking about like a couple of like paper, like plastic satchels full of glitter. I'm talking about kilos. like glitter, when you're buying it in kilos, does not come in plastic bags. They come in fucking tubs. And I had this stuff delivered to my place. I was sitting on the ground with this delivered on a tarp. I didn't want this shit to go anywhere. I'd set up a tarp to fulfill these orders. I'm not even kidding. And you know what? Once I had finished doing that, I still found glitter everywhere, like literally everywhere. Anyway, before I get to finding glitter everywhere, I was completing these tasks. So there was a lot of issues when it came to shipping glitter, which I didn't think about in advance. So think about your standard envelope and then to the left of it, think about glitter. Glitter is a fine substance. It gets fucking everywhere. We all know it. Glitter sucks, whatever. However, envelopes, they're not sealed properly. They have little holes in the top of them where the lid closes. I would have the A4 letter. I would put a tiny bit of glitter, like a line of glitter, really. Like if you're going to, you know, do a line of glitter, this is what it would look like. A line of glitter in the center of the A4 letter. Then I'd fold the letter up and I'd put it inside of the envelope and I'd seal the envelope. The envelope isn't fucking sealed properly. So you press down on it so a bit of air gets into it and the glitter shoots out the fucking sides. It goes everywhere, okay? But I don't realize this until I have like an entire box full of like 500 envelopes. 500 envelopes, all with glitter inside, all with open like sides on the envelopes. And then I get to the post office, I press it down, I put all the envelopes on the counter, and the glitter goes fucking everywhere. It shoots out the sides. It's like a flashbang has gone off inside of the post office and all you can see is fucking glitter everywhere. It's all over the desk. It's all over my hands. My hands were covered in it. I swear to God, if I went back to that exact same post office right now, I'd be able to find glitter. It was a small post office in my small suburb, and they were not used to seeing like 500 envelopes come down from like this raggedy ass kid and fill up the desk with them. So yeah, I went down there and I was like, this fucking sucks. What can I change? What can I do? So the next thing I did when the next batch of orders was being processed was, instead of, you know, the person getting the envelope and opening it up and seeing all this glitter, I was like, fuck it. I do not give a fuck how this is received. I got a long piece of tape and I taped down the envelope. It looked horrendous. If it came through to you in the post, you'd be like, what the fuck is this? Why has it got like a huge amount of tape on the back? And it wasn't a clean piece of tape either. When you're sticky taping an envelope down, you have to like press it down so that you get a clean like a clean bit of tape, and when you press it down, the glitter comes shooting out. So all the sides of it were covered in fucking glitter, and it just looked like fucking a hack job, like the biggest hack job ever. I shipped like hundreds of these. It just looked horrible. I swear we got like negative reviews, but at that point in time, it's like, it's not a company. We don't give a fuck. We're just getting them out the door. And that was it. The glitter was just so fine that it was like making its way through our like roadblocks. But that is what glitter is. Like, that's why the website was created, because it gets into places it shouldn't get into, and everyone fucking hates it. But anyway, that sort of ended when the kilos of glitter came in. When they came in the fucking barrels, that's when it was like a glitter that wasn't as fine. The particles were a bit thicker. So when we put them into the envelope and shipped them out, a tiny bit of air that went into it didn't result in the glitter going everywhere. It just stayed within the envelope, and it ended up saving me like a whole bunch of time. It kept my hands cleaner. The person at the post office didn't go postal. They were happy with what I was doing. So that ended up happening. I was really glad that the glitter was, you know, workable. So every time I went down to the post office at that, like back then, I was spending thousands in shipping fees. Like the envelopes that I was sending out, they were going to all different countries, you know, America, whatever. I say America, whatever, as if that's the only country, but they were going fucking everywhere. And when you're sending with Australia Post here, it's not as easy as just typing in the address like, oh, this is going to America. You have to fill in all these different forms. So it took such a long amount of time that I sort of gave up, and I was like, oh, I really can't be bothered to do this. I was making money, but I was like, oh. Every time I'd come back from the post office, I would sit back down on my fucking like tarp in my bedroom being like, well, this is my fucking life now. I have an unlimited amount of letters to fulfill. It was not something that I enjoyed. And, you know, it was like, I hated glitter to begin with, and now I'm dealing with it every day. Like, this is my job now. This is my life now. So the whole week long experience of riding that wave, of going viral, it was insanely fun at the beginning, you know, everyone wanting to talk to you, everyone wanting to get your thoughts on things, you know, having interviews, experience it with my buddy. So that was fun too, because we're just joking, we're laughing, we're talking shit. We were doing media interviews that we really shouldn't have been doing. We're just making up all this bullshit, having a lot of fun. So that was extremely fun. You know, the other thing that I enjoyed was that my name was immortalized on Wikipedia, because the website went onto Wikipedia. It was talked about there. So hopefully that never gets taken down, because of my greatest accomplishment in my life. And that was the Ship Your Enemies glitter experience. It paid for itself. I paid maybe 10, 15, 20 bucks on the entire thing, and it ended up making me a lot of money, which I was happy about. I spent some of that money on, you know, friends and family. I bought my mum a brand new car. I recorded it too. I put it on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube if you search, I don't know what you search, maybe like glitter fuck buys a car, something like that. I invested it into a new projects, and I'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, that was an incredible sort of experience. I want to talk more about these experiences going forward. You know, there's other topics that I want to bring up. I have podcast ideas that aren't thrifting, but are interesting, and I think lend themselves to this sort of niche of side hustles. You know, I have a couple more. There was the time that I lost like almost $300,000 gambling when I was 21 years old. There's another one that talks about making $20,000 in 1 month when I was 20 years old. The first experience I had when I was making money online was I was 13, and I made my first $5,000 through that. I was almost sued by Apple when I was 16 years old. I was sitting in the library of the computer room, and I got a phone call from their lawyers. There's just a lot that I want to talk about. Hopefully I can fit them in between the thrifting and the garage sales. If you enjoyed this, subscribe, share, whatever, and I'll see you next week.